morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my friends.
Good
it is
morning.
A mellow morning. Is it not?
Yeah. I think it's because you slept so well.
Oh my gosh. I did sleep so good.
Teenagers.
We don't know how you kick somebody out of a Spotify account. We're solving teenager problems.
Yes.
Hey, while we're discussing this, we need you to go to livingfearlessdevotional.com where you'll find our podcast. You go there, it's at Apple Podcast, and you subscribe, you hit the 5 stars, and you say how fantastic we are. And nothing else. Nothing else will do.
It.
And you have to have that. I almost turned us off by accident. Get rid of it. There we go. Hey, so we went to a great restaurant last night.
We did.
Called
Novo Cafe.
Novo Cafe.
Westlake Village.
And as we were reading the devotional, his story came to my mind.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. But okay. We went to a great restaurant last night. I had a great time and really enjoyed ourselves. I didn't get quite as full as I did over there at Beverly's in Idaho, but I was pretty close.
Thank God, right?
Yeah. I was pretty close. It was a great restaurant. If you're ever in the Ventura area, the Thousand Oaks area, right?
No, Westlake Village is still LA County, so it's on the border.
Westlake Village, and that Novo Cafe is amazing. The food was spectacular. All right, so let's get to our devotional here. Oops, I didn't share it. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me this morning? It is a very mellow morning. Have you ever had that morning where it's just kind of like, we'll just mosey along? You ask me, what are we gonna do today? You go, we're just gonna, every hour we'll decide what we're gonna do. We're not gonna decide. We're not gonna go crazy.
We're not gonna overplan.
Yeah, no plans. And you said, but
I'm a planner.
We need plans. We have to have them. All right, here we go. And this is, of course, Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And they were titled The Impoverished Ministry of Jesus for February 27th. The reference is John 4:11, which was also from yesterday's. Where then do you get the living water? The well is deep, and even a great deal deeper than the Samaritan woman knew. Think of the depths of human nature and human life. Think of the depth of the wells in you. Have you been limiting or impoverishing the ministry of Jesus to the point that he is unable to work in your life? Suppose that you have a deep well of hurt and trouble inside inside your heart, and Jesus comes and says to you, "Let not your heart be troubled." Would your response be to shrug your shoulders and say, "But Lord, the well is too deep, and even you can't draw up quietness and comfort out of it. Actually, that is correct. Jesus doesn't bring anything up from the wells of human nature. He brings them down from above. We limit the Holy One of Israel by remembering only what we have allowed him to do for us in the past, and also by saying, "Of course, I cannot expect God to do this particular thing." The thing that approaches the very limits of his power is the very thing we as disciples of Jesus ought to believe he will do. We impoverish and weaken his ministry in us the moment we forget he is almighty. The impoverishment is in us, not in him. We will come to Jesus for him to be our comforter or our sympathizer, but we refrain from approaching him as our almighty God. The reason some of us are such poor examples of Christianity is that we have failed to recognize that Christ is almighty. We have Christian attributes and experiences, but there is no abandonment of surrender to Jesus Christ. When we get into difficult circumstances, we impoverish his ministry by saying, "Of course you can't do anything about this." We struggle to reach the bottom of our own well, trying to get water for ourselves. Beware of sitting back and saying, "It can't be done." You will know it can be done if you will look to Jesus. The well of your incompleteness runs deep, but make the effort to look away from yourself and to look toward him. I often do that, hit the wrong button.
Where do you want to start?
You were talking, you went back to it earlier, mm-hmm. and went back to that part where the well, we're looking down at the well for the answers when the answers come from Jesus. Why did that hit you?
Well, because I'm used to, the old expression, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I'm used to always trying to move in my own strength. Mm-hmm. And it was my mentor always speaking into me saying, it's not in your power to do it. You draw from the Holy Spirit power. And I do that in my darkest moments, I find myself visualizing the scene that we read about in the Bible, where John the Baptist is baptizing Christ and the dove comes down and sends the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. Hmm. But I just visualize the dove and sending that Holy Spirit power, because basically that's what we want. We want his power to rain down in us and refill the reservoir of the Holy Spirit that's in us. So we also say after the story of Pentecost, like, fall fresh on us, that send that power to fall fresh every day. Renew that strength within me, because in my own strength, I have nothing. Hmm. It is a bunch of hollow places. I say that often to myself too. Fill my hollow places with your hallowed name, because I am incapable of finding joy or finding peace or solving a problem without his power.
Hmm. Wow. You know, the visual I get is when we look down into that well, I think of just deep, dark nastiness and smell.
And smell.
I mean, everything. Why am I looking down there for the answers?
Right.
I've never thought about this. I mean, again, this is one of those things that I've heard about, you know, and read about this, the Samaritan woman and the story.
Yes.
And about this well and the water. Oh, it's just fresh water down there. But when you're looking at it as I think God wants to look at it, why are you looking down at the deep darkness of just nastiness?
Right.
Dead rats are in there.
Well water.
Well water, just like.
You want living water.
Yeah. And then you look up and there's light and there's Jesus and there's answers and there's love and there's all those other things. Like, what a stark difference between looking down and then looking up. That just hit me when you were talking.
Isn't that beautiful? And he says to her in that same story, he says, if you drink of my water, you will never thirst again.
Oh my gosh.
That.
All right, that's all. Bye.
that's where it is, folks. Drink of his water. Because we can't do anything in our own strength. And that's, I often talk to people that are new in their walk about addictions and other problems that they're struggling with. And we can't do it in our own strength. We don't draw the strength from that dark well within us. That's the place. The well is what got us in trouble in the first place. Yeah. So,
well, Heather says her well has some good water in it, and I bet it does. Just in the sense of the story, my well is not.
Yeah.
No, my well.
Lucky you, Heather.
Yeah. My well is not that clean.
My well sucks.
Yeah, that's where I put all my stuff. So I was thinking about the owner of the Novo Cafe last night that we met. He sat down with us and we heard his story. We asked him about how he started the restaurant. But I was thinking about, and I think in the middle of the night, for the moment that I was awake for just a second, I fell right back asleep. But is him talking about how he was invisible, like he didn't exist at the beginning of his life. It's hard to get into the whole story, but when he was born, he was a bastard child.
A survivor of abortion because, in fact, his mother aborted the first child and wanted to abort him, and then at the last minute changed her mind. Hmm. So he has a remarkable story of survival, of purpose.
Yeah, but you think of how you're born and you don't exist. Like, your family kind of denies your existence. How does that start your life? What I liked about his story, you know, and the interesting thing is that he doesn't know Jesus like we do. He when we asked him about his faith, he goes, well, you know.
I believe in God.
Yeah. Yeah. He was raised a Catholic. But I wonder how much more calm, you know, and happiness in his life. When we left him at the bar, sitting there talking to an older guy, like just thinking, as I was walking away, I was thinking, I wonder what his life is, how overall his life is.
Right.
I mean, he's been a huge fighter in trying to get the restaurants back open in this area. He's been involved, in the community, trying to, get the community back in order and get people back to work, get people back to doing what they do best. And so I know he's a great man. I mean, we sat there and talked to him. He's funny. He's nice. He was very kind to us. as far as giving him, giving us his time. But I just thought, gosh, when you start your life out like that, what you know, because now I know what it's like to have God in my life, but the difference it has made in my life to work through that. Because the fact that he tells that part of the story tells me that there might be a, still a little bit of hurt.
For sure.
From that, and how God might use that story for spreading the word of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because he was able to, I mean, and then he became a semi-pro soccer player and some other stuff. So he had success. And just knowing that how much better had a failed marriage, you know, yes. Kind of similar stories. Like I had success, even though I did, wasn't a man of God. Right. And I also had some huge
failures. The two are not necessarily related at all.
Had some huge failures, but it's the comfort in my life. The knowing that he's there for me and that he loves me and, has brought us together. All the things that go with the goodness of God just makes life so much better and so much more freeing. So I just kept thinking about that. How do you start off a life with people pretending you don't exist, that you don't matter? How tough that must be. We got a lot of comments popped up here.
Hi, friends.
Let's see. Nicole.
Amy and Priscilla, good morning. And Nicole.
He knows all our sins and forgives us and says, go sin no more. Forgiven by the Most Highest. Andy, can you kindly repeat how I would find the channel on Apple Podcast? Oh, sure. No problem. And Nicole loves the story of the Samaritan woman.
Yes, so do I.
I love it more now that I kind of have a different perspective.
Well, especially because she's just a simple woman, a broken woman too. You know, she's on to her fifth relationship. She's living with a man that's not her husband. And the Lord's like, hey, why don't you just leave this life behind and drink from the living water? Drink from me, from my water. Mm-hmm. Be broken bread and poured out wine. You know, where it's just miraculous what he does when he steps into a life that's otherwise chaos.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
Please.
When, because this happens to me too. When you get into your self-talk, because I know sometimes we get into our self-talk of horribleness, like all the disasters that could possibly happen. What story, I'm just going to take it to a different place. What story in the Bible? Is it the Samaritan woman? Is it what story do you, if you can, I know that the battle is trying to get to a place where you can consciously think about Jesus Christ and get past yourself and your flesh. Is there a story in the Bible that you reflect on when you're feeling a certain way, like you're getting down on the possibilities of what could happen, the negative things that could happen? Is there something that helps you through those times?
I mentioned it. It's I visualize the Holy Spirit power falling fresh. It's I just picture myself in that lake. And being there with him and then seeing the dove above me and just visualizing that light and fire falling on me, because I feel like it burns away everything that is of me. Mm. And that's the visualization. That's the imagery he's given me.
And then what do you have to do after that?
It is literally praying. It's me and him in a conversation. Lord, I'm doing it again. I'm in my head. Take it out. Take every thought captive. Break the strongholds. Break the patterns. Send your love. Send your peace. Help me walk in that love. It's literally just pleading with him. And sometimes if I start crying, he'll say to me, daughter, why are you crying? You know, and just constantly having a conversation with him to snap out of it.
Because I've seen those moments, and this sometimes sounds like crazy talk, but I'm going to talk about myself, not just about Hedia, because I just want to know what your thing is, you do, but how you can, I mean, I can sometimes be in a moment of like,
oh, yeah,
damn it. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm going to get through it. Is it going to, you know, am I going to die of cancer? You know, am I going to lose all my faculties? I'm going to have to pee in a bag, you know, those types of things. Like, sure. And it can really kind of bring me down. But then what I think of is that the moment that I've talked about a lot and takes me back to Salt Lake City, Utah, when I touched Jesus' face, when he was standing in front of me. And for me, that's all. It's almost, that's all I need. I say, oh, There you are. You're back. And I know you're there. As long as I know you're there, I'm not expecting anything from you. I'm not expecting a miraculous miracle at this moment. I'm just glad that you're there, because that's where I know I'm going to end up if the cancer takes hold, if all this thing. And there's a reason if I'm supposed to, live for the rest of my life with a bag. There's got to be something for it. I mean, there's got to be a purpose for all this stuff. I would like for that not to happen.
God willing.
But
God is good.
But I could focus on that. Like when I was in the hospital with COVID, same thing. It was that moment when they said, here are the papers. It's a do not resuscitate. You need to sign at the bottom if that's what you're going to choose and all that kind of stuff. And there's that split second of, what, wait? And then I just kind of close my eyes, pray. I see his face and I feel me touching his face. And I go, all right. And I sign the paper. And I know it sounds crazy. I hear myself saying that now. And if I would have heard myself saying that 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you go, yeah, you've lost your mind. Like, you're supposed to be desperate. You're supposed to be fearful. You're supposed to be in despair.
For what?
I know.
To live as Christ that dies again. that's why I visualize him sending that light, because it's just kind of those. I go back to the first moments. Go back to your first love. And Christ tells us that is that you have to go to that point of origin where you really felt that power for the first time. And it is so rejuvenating. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a couple hours. Sometimes it takes a couple days. But we draw strength from him. Nowhere else. Because if we start looking in, it's like, it's like a web of yuck.
A web of yuck.
A web of yuck.
Oh, we need a t-shirt. Yeah. This is a web of yuck. How do you get rid of it? All right, let's see. We got Robin Phillips on. He's telling us to have a great weekend. Thank you, Robin.
Too.
I appreciate that. I see Amy put our URL up there for
anybody
who wants to click on it. But also you can go to thelivingfearlessdevotional.com. That'll send you, I think, to that URL, because that's Apple Podcasts, if I'm not mistaken. I think. Oh, no, that's videos. That's another location. That's good. Let me just really quick put this up here, this little graphic. If you go on your phone and just go to Apple Podcasts and type in Living Fearless Devotional or my name, it'll take you to you where you can find that logo. Click on that, then subscribe, then hit the 5 stars and give us a review. That would be awesome. Oh my gosh. I don't know why today just seems a little bit more like what is the feeling? Does anybody else have that feeling that we're having today? Is it just us?
It's just us.
It's like a calm. I don't know if it's a calm. It just feels mellow.
Mellow.
Yeah. Everything good?
Everything's good.
I think everything's good because we've had a great weekend so far.
I mean, everything is, it has to be good.
Yeah.
It has to be good because he's in control. You know, it's always good when we step outside of ourselves. I always one thing that shifted a couple days, I think even for us, is I remind myself that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask for God to show us his majesty that day, what how big or how small, to show us he's in control. So setting our divine appointments. And last night was actually one of those instances, because we didn't expect to go out. And we were just kind of like, you're like, let's go to this restaurant. You've been talking about it. I'm like, let's go. And it was, and for Massimo to be there and to sit down, and I kind of, prodded him about his life. And by listening to that, I think we had a greater appreciation for just people in this world and what they struggle with and how they overcome those struggles, and basically his dedication to the fight to stay free is what he is witnessing in Europe, and being an immigrant and appreciating all the freedoms and things that he enjoys in America, but also recognizing what's happening is evil and it's from Satan. Whatever his relationship with Christ is not fully developed, he does recognize what's happening is evil, and he must be a force for good against evil.
Maybe that's where I was getting that. There was something there, and I couldn't put the two together. That he recognizes the devil and the evilness,
yes,
but he needs a little bit more Jesus.
Exactly. He needs a little more Jesus, but he's very aware of God and very aware of the power of evil and very aware of the power of God. And for me, as we are soldiers of Christ. I find every time I meet and hear a person like that, that the Lord has set that meeting because we are like-minded soldiers, that these are fellow trench members. There's instances where every time I meet somebody significant like that, I think to myself, ah, you're a fellow member of this trench. And I just love that feeling.
Yeah.
I've met another soldier of Christ.
I wonder how much more we can connect with him.
And
maybe be a light for him.
I would love that. I would love that. And I thought about that after we left too, because honestly, quite frankly, his story is very similar to my daughter's. My daughter had a similar experience. She was not recognized as a child in the family, not my family, but her father's family, until she was 10.
Wow.
So it was really helpful for me to hear that somebody can overcome such level of adversity by just believing in goodness and striving for goodness and working hard. And that was very helpful for me.
Yeah. The story is amazing. I wish we had more time to tell it. The one way that his eventual sister would recognize him was through a picture that his father kept, even though his father kind of kept him a secret from the family, that at 15 years of age, there was a picture that his father had a picture of him at 15 years of age playing soccer. And the daughter that he didn't know he had the sister, sees the picture and says, when did my other brother, whatever that brother's name, Fred, let's say, when did Fred start playing soccer? He goes, well, that's not Fred. That's my son named Massimo.
So my daughter was, so the reason that she got recognized as a family member is we were all sitting at a table eating. Mm-hmm. And there's this custom that is only in a certain part of the Middle East where they squeeze lemon on certain food that doesn't normally take lemon, like on meat and on this yogurt thing. Mm. And so my daughter started to squeeze lemon at 10 years old on this food, and the other people at the table, it suddenly occurred to them. And then they looked at her face, and then they looked over, and it occurred to them that she must be related to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really, and I just sat there and I was like frozen because I saw what she was doing and I saw that they saw what she was doing. You know, it was a really, I can't even tell you. It just that experience last night very much was something that I needed to see, you know, and it was helpful.
Yeah,
it was helpful for me.
Then the story continues to be in a restaurant owner, and we ask him, well, how'd you get in the restaurant business? And he goes, I just decided to be in the restaurant business. Were you a cook? Were you a chef? Were you a waiter? No, I just knew that I wanted to be in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
And it's a great restaurant. It's a successful, fantastic food restaurant. So his story was great. It was so good to be there. Yeah. I'm so glad that we got up out of our bed and went out there.
Yes.
We were so comfortable just sitting there. Okay, let's go to dinner.
And thank you, Danielle, for spreading the word. He's really awesome. One time we can go together, because it's a great place to support. He shares our values, and he's an amazing person.
We have more people on Twitch coming on here. I'm not sure that Safine.
Are you guys reading this? It's a devotional. We read from Oswald Chambers. It's utmost.org. And so they change it every day. It's a daily devotional.
Yeah. And Priscilla giving you a compliment on your article. And they can find that at the Christian Post, ChristianPost.com. Go there and put in Hedia's name and find her most recent. Your first
as a columnist.
You're like a journalist now.
I'm a columnist.
You're a columnist.
And people have all, oh my God, you should read some of the comments. But some of them are awesome. They are great sources of knowledge for me and about judgment. And the comments are really, really helpful, because there's some really deep people. People are like, why didn't you say this? And why didn't you say that? I'm like, well, these are my opinions. And the article is just an opinion piece. But some of the advice is really awesome.
My friend Heather Heavens from
Alive.
Yeah, awesome, huh?
Oh, my God. Such a movie star name.
Hempworks. Heather and I know each other from Hempworks before I went to Viseo.
Oh.
And she just got out of Facebook jail, I think. She's been in there for a very long time.
For anti-COVID stuff?
No, for political stuff.
Oh, okay.
She's like me. I don't know why I don't get thrown in jail on Facebook. Now that I say that, I'll get thrown in jail. But I say some pretty strong things.
You do?
I am almost shocked. And I'm almost offended that they don't throw me in Facebook jail.
Maybe I should try harder.
But Heather is amazing. She gets out and she speaks her mind and has some really good stuff that she puts out there. But she's amazing. And the Calm Before the Storm, I'm getting that too because I've been watching a lot of CPAC to Hedia's chagrin, I think, sometimes because I watch so much of it. I love hearing the little differences between each one of the speakers. And I think sometimes you might think that they are talking all about the same stuff.
To me, it all sounds the same.
Yeah. There's little differences here and there.
I'm jaded, though. Yeah. You don't understand how many years
I know
heard and went to CPAC and how many years. I mean, like, when you live in D.C., it's just like, it's almost like Groundhog Day, where every day is the same.
And you know so many of those people.
Yes. Yes. I do. And I just like, they're just, a lot of them are punks and posers and fakes. And
I was hoping you're going to talk freely.
Yeah. It's just like, so, you know, I know the ones that are cheating on their spouses and the ones that are just, you know, stealing money. And, you know, so it's a little less glamorous for me. but nonetheless,
Dan Bongiorno's speech was Bongino. Very, very Bongino. What did I say?
I mean, Bongino. No, you didn't say Bongino. You say it the opposite, the letters. You changed the letters. But anyways, go on, sorry.
I say Nad Bongino?
No, the Bongino, you say Bongioni. Bongioni. You say Bongioni.
Oh, do I sometimes?
Yes,
oh.
You say Bongioni. Maybe it's because you're...
But anyway, back to CPAC. I think that's probably, for me, that's kind of the thing. Like, I'm thinking about all the... What direction are we going to take? How are we going to help? I mean, I know locally is where we really think our purpose is. Especially with the school board and local politics and that kind of stuff. That's an important place to start. But I'm just, there's so much between the cancel culture, the new amendment, the what's it called?
Equality Act.
The Equality Act, the lack of Equality Act, to China, to bombing, the Middle East. We went from peace in the Middle East to bombing the Middle East. I mean, there's so much. Like it'd be much nicer if the dimwits were more, would just take one topic, like for lack of, taking away our freedom of speech, taking away our guns, pick one, but no, they're destroying everything.
Yeah.
The borders.
And so when I get in my head, I start to think about all of that. I'm like, where are we going to put our guns? And I just start thinking like, cause I just got my CCW, I registered all my guns. Even registered my shotgun, and I'm thinking about, oh my God, where are we going to keep these things now? And like, and I have all these, like, I'm a prepper, so I've got all these like water tanks and food, and I'm like, oh my God, are we going to need to eat that food? Like, I didn't think we ever had to eat it. And yeah, so it really gets me going.
I think the biggest thing right now that I'm thinking about, the border has always been a big issue with me. And I just remember them just flipping out about this issue with the children at the border. Which again, I've talked about this hundreds of times. We have to take care of the children at the border. We've never said anything again. Conservative Christians or conservatives have never said that the children need to be jailed. They need to be taken care of, because what are you going to do with them once you take them out of the hands of not their parents? They're being used. They've been sold to be used to get across the border. Sometimes their parents are committing horrible acts of crimes, like trying to smuggle narcotics
and many of them are not with parents.
Right.
They came over with a coyote.
So just my point. So you have to do something with them. So during President Trump's day, it was like 3,000 or so that would be in these holding facilities. Today, I just put a post up. It's going to be something like 13,000 are going to be in those very same holding facilities. And I hear none of my Democratic friends, I almost called him a name. They say nothing now. Like, it was horrible when he had got it down to a much smaller number. But now that it's the same facilities, same location, same border, but now it's up to 13,000 because now they've encouraged more people to come. They're silent. There's no screaming and yelling and crying out for these children.
The devotional show.
Oh.
This is about
Heather. It gets me started. Heather Heavens gets me started. With a name like Heather Heavens, you'd think she'd calm me down. No, she gets me fired up. Oh, all right. Oh, it's that deep well.
Oh, my goodness.
And Amy says, there's been some excellent speakers.
Yes, there are some excellent speakers.
I haven't seen today's. I'm still on yesterday's.
Matt and Mercedes are awesome human beings that have CPAC. So
the next big thing that will be exposed.
Human trafficking.
Oh, human trafficking. Yep.
Huge issue. One registered gun. See, that's the problem, Amy. I only had one registered gun until I got the CCW.
Priscilla wants a friend, Heather Heavens. Absolutely. She's safe, Heather. I would say yes. I think you should do a show about prepping.
Oh my God. I think I should too, actually, because I saw one lady on Instagram that has a whole prepping thing, but I've got so much more stuff. Because there's some things that people don't think of. You need currency.
Like underwear?
No, currency. Oh. You need gold coins because paper, at some point, paper currency will collapse. And that you need to have it at home because once you'll notice, and this is another thing living in DC that showed us whether, because I lived in DC through 9/11, through a blizzard, through an electrical storm. And what you notice, especially the electrical storm, was the most enlightening because in the electrical storm, no power, the gas pumps didn't work. ATMs couldn't work. Nothing worked because all of the electricity fried. So then you start, so it's in those natural disasters where I'm like, okay. So there, you have to have enough gas at home to be able to put 5 gallons, you know, those little 5 gallon thingies filled, because in an instant, the power goes out. So with an electromagnetic pulse bomb, it would simulate an electrical storm. Crazy things like that, folks.
Sounds very similar to what Texas just went through.
Exactly. Oh, no. When I was listening to Texas, I'm like, we lived through that exact thing. And it should alert everyone to how things can happen. And in this movie, Greenland, I encourage you all to watch, because at the very end, the lady says, and the third trumpet was sound because God rains down fire. In the book, he talks about what the last days looks like. So but there's people who live. And so even in the book of Revelation, half the population goes, another third goes, but there's always people that are left. Yeah. And so if you're destined to be left, what at whatever stage we're at, but if, you know, because people argue over pre-rapture and, you know, pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, is there a rapture? So we can't count on that being the way in which we avoid all difficulty. Like, we're not going to be able to, we're most likely not going to avoid all difficulty. So how are we going to be best prepared? And then the interesting thing to me is that in this movie, how people are scrambling, like they literally see the comets come and their instinct is to jump in the car. And yeah. I was like, jump in the car and go where? Like, the comets are like destroying the earth. Sit home, get a bag of popcorn, maybe grill some steaks and be like, Jesus, come quickly, you know, because it's so comforting to know that you have Christ and that he's in control. And so if he's starting to rain fire down on the earth, if you are destined to be one of the tribulation saints or one of the folks that is going to fight the Antichrist, then you're not going to burn. So sit where you are. So he knows where that you are, where he left you to find you and protect you. Running around on the streets, he's not going to be able to. He's like, whoa, don't let me to try to bounce in the house. You know, because bombs can fall. It's just like Psalms 91. 10 can fall on your left and 1,000 on your right, but it will not touch you. You know, when you believe in God's word, then when you are where you're supposed to be, then it won't hit you. It won't hit you.
There was that one scene where they were going by a church and they were singing.
They were singing, praising God, Jesus. And they were so calm compared to everybody else.
And the bombs were hitting all.
Yeah, and the bombs were flying.
The comets.
Yeah.
Heather has some good news for us. We have 60 more days with no protection of our power grids. Biden put an order in for 90 days with no protection. Thanks for the good news. I don't know.
I was telling Andy, I fought the phone company folks for months to keep my copper wire phones. Do you know that none of us have landline phones anymore because they literally mandated by law to remove are copper wire phones. So copper wire landlines, the OG way, the old school way, they wouldn't go out mm-hmm. in an electrical storm because they were so deep underground that they would survive. And they're not subject to the cell towers getting overwhelmed, because remember in the movie also, they show you how the cell phones don't work. I just encourage everybody to take the opportunity to watch these kind of movies to help you plan, because you got to think to yourself. So what she ended up doing is she wrote her husband a note on a Post-it. Mm-hmm. I always carry a pen and piece of paper with me. Everyone's like, why don't you take notes on your phone? I'm like, I can take notes on my phone, but you got to be prepared in case you don't have the phones.
Yeah.
Don't rely on electricity all the time and things that require power.
It's amazing that his phone lasted that long.
Right?
Yeah. Where was he getting the power for his phone?
Exactly.
That's one part of the story that they did. I didn't know you were that much into that movie.
Oh,
it was really good. After it was over, I said, wow, that was much better than I thought it was going to be. It was a really good movie. You got to watch it. Greenland.
Yeah. Greenland. But keep a discerning eye when watching it, because yeah. it's important to use these opportunities. Movies are inspired, but people are inspired to create movies based on either what God's inspiring the earth to know or evil is inspiring the earth to know. So it's good to take some of them to heart.
And this answers the question, because people, nobody asks why I'm with you. I'm sure a lot of people ask you why you are with me. But is because we talk about this all the time, that if there's anybody that I want to go, you know, fight against, the zombies during the apocalypse, it's her. Because she knows some stuff. And I'm sure we'll meet up with Heather, the two Heathers. We'll meet up with the two Heathers who seem to be also preppers and ready to go. But you guys are going to be part of our team. It's going to be awesome. But the stuff that comes out of that little noggin of yours, I tell you how beautiful you are today.
No.
You're so beautiful today. Even more beautiful now that,
now
that you're going to take care of me. What do we do now, Hedia? Yeah. What do we do now?
Well, and that's another thing is that I used to cry, folks. I used to cry to the Lord that literally the most important thing to me is that I were to live in the last days with a man that I felt safe with, that could go through the end times with, you know, and I was watching this movie and the husband takes off to go get the son's medicine. And wow, the woman's life just is wrecked. I mean, they steal her kid. And I was like, if her husband was there, they wouldn't have been able to steal the kid. You know what I mean? Because he would have just punched her. Like, nobody's going to take your kid when you're
You're giving too much of the movie away. You have to put up one of those alerts, one of those, you know what they call it? Spoiler alert. And then I need to kick you out of the chair. What? The show on prepping. Yes.
We'll do a show on prepping.
Yes. I'll produce it off camera. Just say, I got guns. All right. I got the guns. I got guns and knives. Those are the things
I have. Those are good.
Just got a solar powered water heater, because you'll need a way to cook the prepper food.
Yes. I just got a 50 gallon water tank, and you just got to use it sparingly.
Amy wants to know when the prepper show's going to be.
We got to plan it.
All right. Get a hold of the Heathers.
The Heathers.
Hedy and the Heathers. That sounds like a great show. The Hedy and
Heathers. God, I just realized there's two of them.
Yeah, the Hedy and the Heathers.
I love you guys. Yeah, well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's okay.
Danielle knows what a prepper I am. She hears about my escapades all the time.
Oh my God.
And also, I don't know forever who's interested, but I also managed to find gluten-free MREs.
I've noticed you've gone off topic too, by the way. Don't think that I've not noticed that you're not on the devotional.
Let's go back.
Apparently, when you want to go off topic, it's okay.
Such a woman's prerogative.
I want to talk about
what I can.
I want to talk about Don Trump Jr.'s speech and Don Bongiorno.
Don
Banjo. Don Banjo was amazing. I love the guy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hedy and the Heathers do prepping. That'd be a great show.
Right?
You guys got to get together and do that. You guys probably can share some pretty awesome stories. Yes. Not stories, but prepping ideas.
Prepping ideas.
Will we be able to have sushi during prepping times?
No.
No sushi?
There won't be any sushi unless you're going to kill it for us.
Oh,
in the river.
Right. I can do that.
Stick.
I can do that. Heather's Heather's in.
Heather's in. Mike Adams, the health ranger. Free of crud. I love that idea. Free of crud.
I guess there's no menudo.
I'm sure the menudo would last centuries. Oh my God. Stuff is so strange.
Menudo is amazing. It is spectacularly good. All right. So you okay,
let's end with the theme of the devotional.
Yeah. I'll leave you catch it. Yeah, I can catch it. Right? I can catch my own sushi.
Can you? I don't know. Yeah. I saw you go down after being attacked by the man.
You know what? You know what?
Man down! Man down!
I was walking through the bedroom, minding my own business. She shoves the bed out in front of me, and it hits my knee, and it hurt. It about took off my knee. Did you see the wound?
It was this big, folks. But Andy literally collapsed and started like whining like a baby.
I didn't whine.
You whined. You're like, and of course me, I just started laughing. I mean, I laughed so hard I couldn't breathe.
She peed her pants. she peed her pants. She was laughing at my pain.
No, I was laughing at you falling down in pain. And I'm thinking to myself,
where is the Lord in your heart? Where's God?
You know what I said? I actually started to talk to Jesus being like, and so this is the one you sent to defend me? He went down from a scratch on his leg, Lord. I'm like, what? How is he going to defend five kids?
That bed is like, it was like solid wood. It hit my knee, about tore my knee off.
Well, I know, but you've got to be resilient. How are you going to defend all of your little munchkins and me when the guy comes to steal your kid and take our wristband?
I just remember looking up and seeing your face. You were laughing so hard at me.
I was a little distressed. I was a little distressed at how quickly you went down. Men are
really, Heather?
Totally, Heather. This Mr. Tough guy, if you go like that too hard, he's like, ah. Yeah, he does that sound. Do you see that sound?
Ow. Listen, I've been bit by thousands of dogs through the arm, okay, through my stomach, through my ass. I was looking for a little sympathy. I got nothing. I got nothing but laughter. You laugh. I'm just surprised you don't have stretch marks on your face. You're laughing so hard.
Sorry, even my daughter, even retelling the story to my daughter made me laugh as hard as I did the first time.
Thanks, Priscilla. Thanks. That's the face. God. That's the face she was making.
Yes. I and couldn't breathe. The sound wasn't even coming out. I was laughing so hard.
Want the link? The link?
Yes. For the food. Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah. Can you put it in the comments?
Only if it, I wasn't brave enough to say it, Heather Heavens.
Oh, that I was a drama. I am not a drama queen.
She didn't say you. She said men.
Yes.
In general. Yes. And no. And one of the craziest.
Now what?
Not just
now,
you.
Now what are you going to go
But on? In the movie, the guy, there's the people.
Oh, yes.
They eat stuff from the CVS, from the CVS. And the woman is in the store fighting bullets and robbers and looters to get the cough syrup. And the dude's waiting in the car. Did you get it? Did you get it? Like,
he's the driver. Because he's the getaway driver.
Oh,
somebody's got to do the driving.
Oh, my God.
Everybody knows women can't drive.
Oh. But he sent the woman in there unprotected.
He's the getaway driver. She knew. You guys know what to get at the store.
Right. Exactly. So I'll just wait in here.
He didn't know there was going to be. He didn't know.
Oh, really? He didn't see the people pushing the shopping carts?
He didn't know there were going to be people with guns in there killing people?
Oh, really?
He didn't know.
Okay.
Somebody's going to be the getaway driver. It might as well be the man.
Yes. Thank you, Heather. We have gone very off topic. Sorry, we're just amused at ourselves right now.
All right, sorry.
Lord, we love you.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for the simple things. Thank you for joy.
Yep.
Thank you, Jesus, for joy.
It's been so good.
And I think it's important in light of the things we see happening in our world and to bring it back to the seriousness of what's happening. I think whether it's the Equality Act and taking the rights of Christians to worship freely, meaning to make decisions based in our businesses and in our lives, based on our faith, to make that criminal or illegal is quite frightening. So our world as we know it has changed and has forever changed. And so as a consequence, how do we move forward? And the Lord is shaking his church. We will be tested as to how far we will go in defense of the gospel.
Yep. I'm looking forward to see what Jack has to say tomorrow after his message on Wednesday, which if you've not seen it yet, you should see it. You go to Calvary Chapel Chino Hills website. Jack Hibbs is an amazing pastor. His message on Sunday tomorrow is probably going to be just
similar.
Just as amazing on what it is that we need to do as a church to not be weak.
And I think these devotionals help with that too, is any devotional that you follow helps bring you closer to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Could be banned at any moment. Absolutely. As discrimination, basically the Bible is discriminatory. It absolutely is. There's one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except him. And that's now considered discriminatory.
Yep.
It is discriminatory. It's supposed to be. I tell people all the time when they ask about why do you believe there's one way? And I'm like, it's not I that believes it. It's God who commands it. I'm just repeating it. If people don't like it, they don't have to accept. Just say, you know what? I don't believe you. I don't believe that. Great. That's what America's for. You believe as you believe. I believe as I believe. But I'm not going to change what I believe because you don't believe it.
Right.
And so a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be more important than ever.
Absolutely. All right, my friends, thank you for allowing us to have a little bit of jocularity and allowing Hetty to go off topic. I tried to bring her back. She just wanted nothing to do with the topic. All right, my friends, we love you so much. We appreciate your time. Hopefully we brought a little bit of joy and a message from God today. Hopefully we did both.
I hope.
I know. And now we got a new show, Hetty and the Hetters, prepping show.
If you didn't want it, if you were worried about getting kicked off of Facebook, this should do it.
Oh, yes.
Show on preppers.
That'd be amazing. I'm looking forward to that show. I can't wait to produce it.
Let's do it.
All right, my friends, we love you.
We love you. God bless you.
Take care. Bye.